Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family we go.
Since Brad is on vacation for a few weeks, you get me this morning, so you'll have to, I don't know if you want to do that. You'll have to bear with me a little bit. I'm a lot more comfortable behind a guitar than I am without it, so we'll see how we do today. If you're looking to follow along, we're going to be in Romans 4 and 5 this morning, but don't read it yet because spoilers. Speaking of Brad being on vacation, well, you see, because Brad's on vacation, I have to now, you know, wait for mine, right? Is that my vacation will be after Brad's, and so I've got some waiting to do. I also like to order things online. That often can involve some waiting. I accidentally paid for Amazon Prime, so it involves less waiting. When you don't hit the cancel button after a month, you get it automatically. I don't know how that happened. But I have this uncanny sense of when I order things to order them over long weekends or holidays or that kind of thing and just force myself to wait longer. It's just a weird thing that I do. Every time I order something, it's usually on a long weekend. It's even worse when you've got to, you know, pre-order something and you got to wait till it actually comes out, or something's on backlog and you can't get it yet. Waiting is not fun. We live in a day and age where we don't like to wait. We can get so many things so quickly that we as people, as a society, we have just kind of lost the ability to wait for things. We get annoyed when, you know, our Netflix buffers for too long, or we have to wait in line in the drive-through because we didn't want to go in the store and wait, but we didn't want to get out of our cars. Or, you know, our social media can update every 15 or so seconds and there's something new and fresh there. Or we can even just pull out our phone and just have access to unlimited sources of information. We don't like to wait, and we've figured out how the best way is to not wait. We figure that if something is worth doing, it's worth doing quickly and efficiently. I'm like that for sure. When I worked at Starbucks for a very large portion of my life that I will not say how long, I was always looking for the easiest, most efficient way to complete a task. So if there was a better way of doing it that somebody else was doing, I was like, what are you doing? Show me. Okay, I got it. It's like, I will do that now because it's faster, it's easier, it's more efficient. But when we read the Bible, we find that it is full of waiting. There is God seems to think either it's funny or he seems to think he doesn't like that we don't have this thing called patience, and so he thinks, I'm going to make them wait. He's like, all right, well, okay. But I want to tell you a story about a man who knew what it was to wait. This guy left all that he had because of a promise. His name was Abraham, and his life was full of waiting. He had been promised something incredibly great, but he wasn't seeing it happen. He wasn't seeing the steps that needed to take place so that this promise could come to pass. God had told him that he would have a child, he would have a son, and that in turn this son would have some kids, and eventually he would have an enormous family, and he would become, as God called him, the father of many nations. The only difficulty for Abraham with that was that he was old. Now, I'm not talking about the old that I was complaining about a couple of weeks ago. I'm talking, Abraham was really old. We're talking like 100 years old. That's pretty enormous for having a kid and starting a family at 100 years old. His childbearing days and his wife's were long behind them. They couldn't have kids. I'm sure they had tried, and that was a pretty natural thing for them, but they couldn't have kids. But the Bible tells us that Abraham did not lose faith. God made him a promise, and he was going to see it. He was hoping against all hope that it was going to happen. In Genesis 15, we see God had promised to Abraham this promise of children and this promise of becoming a father of many nations and a son whom we know to be Isaac, but he did not know that at the time. Do you have to side note here? I mean, having a kid at 100 years old? I'm 30 and Levi makes me tired. I don't know how you would do that. Anyway, so even after God tells him all these things, and even his human understanding, it didn't make sense to him. Verse 6 in Genesis 15 tells us that he believed the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him, Abraham, as righteousness. Man, that takes faith. I had to look this up because I was like, how long did he actually have to wait? He waited 25 years from the point here in Genesis 15 to when Isaac was actually born. 25 years. That's a long time. Abraham knew how to wait. You would think he would, after 25 years, or through the course of 25 years, he would have some doubts, some wavering, some unbelief. But we can see from what Paul wrote, if we take a look at Romans 4, starting in verse 20, we can see that Paul writes this about Abraham. He says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But as he grew strong in his faith, he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. That's amazing faith. That's perseverance on the part of Abraham. And Abraham had hope. He had hope in the promise that God had given to him. He believed that God could do what he said he was going to do, even though through his human mind and eyes it didn't make sense. And it took such a long time for that to actually happen. The cool thing is that God did come through for Abraham, just like Abraham believed he would. Did you know that the Bible says that you and I today are part of Abraham's lineage? I'm not talking about blood. I mean, some of you might have some Jewish parts in you. But when we look back at verse 16 in Romans 4, Paul is talking about God's promise to Abraham. It says, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So Paul was writing to people who weren't Jewish. He was writing to Gentiles, and he said that anyone who shares the faith of Abraham is part of his family. Abraham's story is a lesson to us too. His story wasn't written just as an account of the history of the Jewish people, just showing their lineage, but it was an encouragement for us who are living out the same faith today. Looking at verse 23, Paul gives us why we have Abraham's story. He says, but the words, it was counted to him as righteousness, were not written for his sake alone, but also for ours. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. praise God that he saw it fit to send his son to die and be raised for a sinner like me. Our faith in God through Jesus counts as righteousness for us. That's how God sees us, through the sacrifice of his son. Paul is communicating to us that because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, we can be made right in God's sight. And our choice of belief in the truth of this is what brings us to the place of being forgiven, to being made right in God's eyes. This is the core of our faith, that Jesus came, he died, and he rose again for us. Our hope is built on that fact. So I'm going to go on a slight tangent here. I don't want to go too far on tangent, but I think it's important to understand entirely what Paul is telling us here. Sometimes in the Bible, we can see, especially in Paul's writings, we can see these words that we kind of gloss over. It's the same type of look that Tracy gets when I'm playing a board game and I'm trying to explain to her what's going on, and she's like, "What?" It happens all the time. But we see these words, and we just may not have a good grasp on what they actually mean from context and from understanding. It's just, we are like, I kind of get it, but I'm just going to keep going because I don't actually get it. And so we don't, you know, put a lot of thought into it. But one of these words is the word that Paul just used here, is justification. It's a big word. But the meaning is actually quite simple. In linguistic terms, it's simply the act of showing something to be right. Like when I was younger and getting in trouble for something that one of my brothers did, and I would attempt to justify myself to my parents that I couldn't possibly have done what they were accusing me of and getting what I was getting punished for, but that rarely worked. Sometimes I would do it trying to justify yourself when you actually did do it, and that's probably why it rarely worked, but that's, you know. But in the terms of our relationship with God, it's the act of God declaring us righteous or clean in his sight, thereby making a way for us to have a relationship with him. What Jesus did for us on the cross by his death and resurrection, he removed the barrier of sin that was in between us and God. So when we have faith and we believe that fact, it is counted for us as righteousness also in the sight of God. As we continue into chapter 5, so you probably heard this before, but the chapters are an afterthought. So not necessarily, Paul wasn't done talking at chapter 4, and so we're supposed to stop there and not read chapter 5. Paul continues his thought into chapter 5, and so we're going to continue our thought into chapter 5, but he explains for us what it means to have been justified by faith. In verse 1, he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of that glory." Our faith in God through Christ's sacrifice is what saves us. It's what justifies us, and it's what makes us right in God's eyes. And our hope of glory is that on the last day, we will be with Christ in his glory, and we will be made perfect because of God's work in us. We have hope because we know that God is true to his word. We just sang, "Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness." I feel like Phil and Sarah were reading my notes when they picked their songs this morning, and it's awesome when that happens. Anyway, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. Hebrews 10:23 tells us, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Like Abraham, we don't always understand how or when it will come to pass. Could be a matter of minutes or seconds, but it could also take years. In Abraham's case, it was 25 years. That's a long time to wait. But we know that God is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his promise. In the next couple of verses here, Paul writes and seems to address a bit of that time of waiting in this passage. He says in verse 3, he says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So I guess it's not that God just wants to make us wait. He thinks it's funny. It's that our waiting and our endurance produces character, Christ-like character, and that, through that, he produces hope in us. In the waiting, there may be trials, there may be struggles that you may face. We don't rejoice that we are in the trials or rejoice that we're in the sufferings, but we rejoice in the fact that through those trials and our perseverance, we are made more like Christ. It's not easy watching a family member turn their back on Jesus, or you look at your bank account and see that there's not enough there, or when it looks like you've waited so long and God's not going to come through on that promise that he's promised. But our faith in Christ and that hope that we place in Christ is what carries us through. Persevering through these trials, through these difficult times, produces character resulting in hope. John 16:33, Jesus is talking about the fact that we are going to have trials, that this life is going to give us some things that are going to be hard. But he also made a promise in that same verse, saying that he has overcome the world. My Bible reading is taking me through Luke right now, and I'm reminded of what Jesus said, that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we could say to a tree, "Be planted in the sea," and it would happen. I don't know if you know a mustard seed. It's tiny. Like, I would be able to pinch it in like this. I don't know if you can see that because that's small. But that small faith can do much in the hands of Christ. Our small amount of faith makes it so we can have a saving relationship with God. And that is no small thing. The results of our small faith are not small. The same God who we put faith in says to the mountain, "Be made low," to the valley, "Be made high," and says to the storm, "Be made still." That is the God we place our faith and our hope in. The one who chose us while we were nothing and chose to die for us. As I talk this morning about faith and hope, my mind goes to a song that Jordan and Zach and I have been working on about this. And I thought about just reading the words of the song to you, and that didn't feel right. So talking about being safer behind my guitar, I'm going to sing it this morning. It's a little bit unconventional in the middle of a sermon to sing a song, but this song is birthed out of trial, struggle, just not a good time. Many of you may know the journey that my family has been on with my dad passing away from cancer. And it's a this song is a cry for God's intervention into the hard times when it feels like there isn't any hope. So I pray that this song ministers you, and I hope that we will be singing it together soon. And my notes say sing this song and try not to be a wreck. I don't know if that's going to happen. We're going to try.
In what you said, for you are good and you are strong, and you are proving my fears wrong. You are proving my fears wrong. When my eyes cannot see the way ahead, I will walk by faith in what you said. For you are good, and you are strong, and you are proving my fears wrong. You are proving my fears wrong. When my eyes cannot see the way ahead, I will walk by faith in what you said. We're safe here in your arms, and your word is always true. In the midst of all this darkness, your light shines through. My eyes, and when my eyes cannot see the way ahead, I will walk by faith in what you said. For you are good, and you are strong, and you are proving my fears wrong. You are proving my fears wrong. And give us unbound hope, unwavering trust that we're safe here in your arms, and your word is always true. In the midst of all this darkness, your light shines through. Give us unbound hope and unwavering trust that we're safe here in your arms, and your word is always true. In the midst of all this darkness, your light shines through. Your light shines through. And peace be. You are here. will quiet my soul. Hold me close, never let go. 'Cause it's your voice I long to hear and silence my fear. Peace be still, you are here, you are here. Lord, quiet my soul, hold me close and never let go. And it's your voice I long to hear and silence my fear. Just give us unbound hope and unwavering trust that we're safe here in your arms, and your word is always true. In the midst of all this darkness, your light shines through.
Our God is a God of hope. 2 Corinthians tells us that we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, and the things that are unseen are eternal. If you look back at Romans 4:17, talking about our God, it says, Him who gives life to the dead and who calls into existence the things that do not exist. This world has a severe lack of hope. Suicide and depression rates, especially among youth and young adults, are skyrocketing. But like Abraham, we have hope in Christ. Verse 18, continuing on, tells us that in hope, he believed against hope. His situation had no hope, and he believed anyway. But he knew that God had given him a promise, and he held fast to the assurance that he had been given. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. There may be dark days ahead, and some of those days might be dark right now for some of us. But be encouraged with this. Paul, talking in Romans, continuing in chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though one would perhaps for a good person, one would die, even dare to die. But God showed us his love, for in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We have a God who loves us dearly, and we have each other. We have our church family to support us, to be with us in those dark times. So I want to encourage you, let us love one another with the same love that God has shown for us. Let us come alongside each other in those dark times, in the times where we are weak, we need those who are strong to build us up. And when we are strong, we need to build up those who are weak. Let us come together and give each other an encouragement of the hope that we have in Christ.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountains I could not climb.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter, and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go. Step down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Your buried body began to breathe.